All right, you all. So, yes, I got quite a healthy little list of things, you know, to talk about here. And, you know, we've been through a lot. November, I don't even know where to start. Like, you got the, you know, Israel versus Hamas, you know, slash Gaza impact and all that's happened there. You know, we got a little bit of political stuff coming up, creeping up in the forefront. Then we see Diddy and Cassie and Will and Jada. And I know I said I wasn't going to talk about them no more. I really want to be done with them. They just keep showing up. I'm just like, sit down, just go heal. Get off of these interviews and radio set. Just go heal. Go sit down and y'all work your problems. Go do you, boo. Please do you. I mean, there's Will and Jada, there's Diddy and Cassie. Like, Lord, I mean, I think it's getting to the point where now anybody that was toxic in entertainment is about to get exposed, beat up, thrashed, thrown out. In a fun and even joking way, you know, I even have my friends there. They're getting me, roasting me on social media. You know, everybody gets touched, is what I'm saying. Everybody's gonna get touched, exposed, laughed at in some way. What you had cooking up, when they finally catch you, that's all on you. If you're abusing people, having entanglements, persuading to harm, blackmailing people, taking advantage of people for your cult, your religion, your whatever it is, that's on you, you know? Do your best to get right with those people while you have a chance. And that's why for me, it is a sincere apology, a 100% apology to anybody that I've hurt, wrong, done dirty, or you know, maybe I didn't know. So I apologize, because I'm not that one. I am not the one. When people rub me the wrong way, now I do my best to just, I gotta stop. I gotta walk away, I gotta stop. Because they don't know any better, so I gotta take care of my own energy. And I'm too old now to act like I don't know that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that people don't change. It takes significant things to make people change. And so I shouldn't say people don't change. I should say the change that we want to see from people doesn't happen in our lifetime. It doesn't happen specifically because of us. But it can happen in life. Like, it can. Usually through trauma or some type of hardship or some random thought. You know, some type of awakening. It can be really helpful for people. So, I don't know. People won't change until they do. And that's why with, you know, Diddy, Cassie, Will, Jada, all of them, I just got to leave them alone. So we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that in a second. I have more notes on them. I want to talk about them a little bit more. But for today, I wanted to talk about, you know, a topic that a friend of mine was on that got me all kinds of lit up on Facebook years ago. I talked about breastfeeding in public. And this was something that as a man, like, I just still don't understand. Like, I'm a man. I'm a strong man. I got a hairy chest, beard, all that jazz. I love my wife. I'm a very straight male. I'm a stop by saying that. I've never understood the hatred women take on for breastfeeding in public. If you understand the mental, psychological, and overall health benefits that these children receive from their mother in breastfeeding, you will calm that down right now. I got to take my daughter in to have some surgeries done because she can't breathe. So she's snoring super loud at night. She snores like a grown man, like louder than me probably. I usually get kicked or punched to get on my side so I don't snore. But a little girl should not be making those kinds of noises. So, you know, she's going in and having that surgery done. And like, that, y'all, this costs money. Okay? What your children don't have and what we go through in life to get to that status quo or that normal, it costs money. So when someone is feeding their child, breastfeeding their child, I always kind of got to like wonder, like, when a man has a problem with that, like, what is it you have a problem with? That you're seeing breasts? Like, these are straight males? And here's the beautiful part. I've never had a conversation with a gay man or seen gay men have any problem with breastfeeding in public. I haven't even seen lesbian women have a problem with breastfeeding in public. It's only straight men. Which goes into another part of the discussion that I'll take it to in a second, which is the male perspective. But I'm just like, I'm like, you don't like breasts? Like, you, I mean, I just think of all the nasty, rough things I've seen on the internet, just in my small time on this earth, that comes across as pornography. And here's where I think the fork in the road comes from. But let me finish my, before the fork in the road, let me finish what I'm saying. The health benefits and money savings that you get from that breastfeeding and keeping that child fed well, not overfed, but keeping that child fed well, go years beyond that small moment of breastfeeding, because it's only going to be for a small time. And if you men knew what these women go through just to pump and sit and get everything going, like, we're not understanding. And this is that part where I don't know if y'all understand, when you have a concussion or an issue or bent, broke leg or something, and they bring that cover up over on the side of the football, you know, sidelines, they don't want you to see. And these are grown men. Like, they might be crying under that tent, yelling under that tent, doo-dooing down their leg. You never know what's happening, but they cover that up. They cover that up. and we watched it happen. This isn't like Damar Hamlin, where he basically died on the field. Like, and I mean, if they got to remove clothing, they got to remove clothing. But I mean, if we're doing modesty and dress, decency and dress and all that, what I don't understand is, why are you looking? Okay. You have pornography, the strip club, wet t-shirt contest, life to just look at all the hotties and bad ones that you need to look at. Why are you creeping on mothers feeding their children? That's what I don't get. Why are you in on that? If you're driving, the red light means stop. The green light means go. You have the visual accuracy to differentiate between what a red light is and a green light is. Don't be over there, okay? You can look 360 degrees all around every part of humanity. Why are you looking there? And here's the best part. If you hunt or fish, you are accurate. You are good You're real good. If you play sports and you can hit a free throw or throw a touchdown pass, you are accurate. You don't look up in the stands while you're throwing that touchdown pass. You don't look down at your shoes to see if your shoelaces are tied. You don't even look over at the coach when you should be looking downfield to throw the ball. You look right back down the field where you need to be looking. So that's my point. Where do you need to be looking? If that's not your wife, if that's not your lady, what are you looking at? So I never understood this. And when this argument and debate got really big was actually about, I want to say about 4 or 5 years before COVID. I mean, this was before my daughter was born. I put that thing up. It had 80 comments, 375 likes, because women were you know, appreciating the support. But dudes were all crinkled up in their feelings, you know, not knowing how to, you know, talk about it or whatever. So I also kind of noticed this, and I'm going to put this out there, and I hope this doesn't body people up. Because this, I'm not trying to down talk anybody. I'm really not. But one of the things I also noticed is the gentlemen who were so hot and bothered by my post, in my opinion, from what I know about them, were gentlemen that didn't seem to have much romance in the home. Now, the gentlemen that do were 100% silent. So I do have to say it like that. The guys that I knew were romantic at home and had good romance at home didn't really seem bothered by a breastfeeding post. They're like, oh, yeah, breast is out, feeding baby, I'm out. You know, they just didn't seem really bothered. So that's where I kind of got to move over to the next lane, which is the male perspective. I was just talking to the missus about it. I was like, wow, you know, a woman's breast is so much more than just the sexual side. There is who that woman is as a whole, health-wise. Like, who is she health-wise when she's not around the man that is attracted to her? She's a whole other human being that has the skin, the muscle tissue, and all of that that has to be mammogrammed to make sure cancer isn't in there, right? Because October is cancer, breast cancer appreciation month. So we want to catch that thing before it can get any worse. Like, and really, like, let's say that. Cancer can be in the same place that you sexualize. Like, really think about that. Cancer can be in the same place you sexualize. And while you're mad at this woman for pulling out her breast in public to feed her child something you can't do and you won't do, that honestly, man, I'll be honest, there's a lot of things we tap out on because we just don't inherently have that godlike ability to just love and care and feed the way women do. We protect and serve. We protect and provide amazingly. We do all the things we do amazingly, but the things that just naturally drop into a woman's mind, that godlike loving and giving and nurturing, like even to the point of draining themselves, we don't have that. So cancer can be in the same place we sexualize. But we can't see that. We can't deal with that. And like this is what kind of messed me up. Just kind of going back to what I was saying about the guys that seemed to be happy at home weren't saying anything. The guys that seemed to be most bothered and itchy and agitated and bothered to their core on their own, in their own lives, were the ones bothered the most about, you know, these ladies feeding their children. So from that male's perspective, I really started to look at this and break it down. I'm like, wow, we really don't have any room. You're for women in a male mind, Women are either mothers, family, or teachers. Mothers, family, or teachers. That's a safe category. That's the non-sexual category. You know, mothers, family, and teachers. Or you just jump that line and whoever's not in that those pockets of mothers, family, and teachers, if you're not in that pocket, you're in the sexual realm. Right? You're in the sexual realm. And that's why, for me, I'm like, when guys go, you know, crazy over who's the next hot babe or who's fine or who this, you know, beautiful woman is, like, it just out of respect for, like, my friends and all that who have kids that are now in college and whatever, like, if they aren't at least 10 years younger than me, I can't look at them. I'm like, that's a child. That's a child. So, I mean, I can also put that in there. You know, if you're a child, mothers, family, teachers, a child, you are in the non-sexual category. But once someone, you know, is like over 25 and 30, they're in the hunting game. So they are to be hunted. And I think this is male and female. But in the male mind, it just blows my mind that, yeah, like, there isn't a range, a variety. Like, say, for example, in that safe category, can you have a female mentor? You know, in that safe category, can you have a female boss? In that safe category, can you have a female coach, right? And that's, you know, that's my main point, is how diverse should our minds be when we encounter and think about women? And, like, I've had, how many? Let me think. Since college, I've had, let's see, 1, 2. I'd say maybe 7 female bosses. You know, the work world is different. And if you only look at women as the sex, you know, it's like, if you only look at women as the sex, you really miss out on, you know, the opportunity to learn a whole person, you know? So I think it's very cut and dry when we look at athletes as this is the quarterback, that's it. Like, that's fine, you know? And athletes may do that, but, like, when someone is speaking out and voicing that they're more than just who they are in that jersey and throwing that football, you know, it is worth it to sit and listen. You're a human being. They're a human being, because you hate being treated like that at work. Just a mindless slave that, you know, gets pushed around. And now as we, I want to say that we have failed. AI is such an amazing contribution to our world. But with AI taking over jobs, I don't see that as an advancement for the companies. I see that as a huge demotion. Why should I spend money on a company that doesn't company? You know, it's like when people ask, you got company over? So no, like, I don't think that's a win at all. All these companies replacing, you know, people with AI, when in reality, it was horrible management. It was bad management. The management was bad. Not the people. The management was bad. So because we couldn't manage relationships well and didn't understand people well, companies and numbers and all these issues arose, and you still need people to connect with people and talk to people. Like, you still need that. And building supercomputers and AI to learn us and talk to us and do all this for us, well, it's going to be great and fine and dandy until nobody has jobs because the AI is doing so well. If that's the goal, wow. Like, you all, I'm confused. If that's the goal, then why? You know? If the goal is so we can just go and play and have a great time in life more, then yes, please, keep going. But that's what I'm saying is a lot of what we're saying and doing from the male perspective toward women is leading us to an AI world. It's not leading us to a world of better understanding, better pleasure, more fun. Like, it's leading us to a place where we're more robotic and we're more seduced and tricked. We're not really going to be in charge of this anymore. Because of the improper, problematic, deadening, cold mindset, right? You can't just look at women like this, you know? And like the coolest thing to me is the intensity of things. When you study like the elite level quarterbacks and pitchers, they know exactly how to turn it all the way up and then turn it all the way back down. Like, you'll never see Tom Brady or any of these Hall of Fame pitchers, you'll never see them shake somebody's hand as fast as they throw a ball. You'll never see them rip somebody's arm off when in reality they could. There's enough power and energy stored in that arm to where they could rip somebody's arm off if they wanted to, if they really wanted to. Same thing with a bodybuilder. They can come up and shake your hand just like a regular person, but if they wanted to, they could throw you off a bridge. That's the ability of just the man, right? And as much as we, you know, praise and worship Ronda Rousey and her time as an arm collector, not one time in an interview did she jump up and just start choking people and killing people like, you know, Bride of Chucky or something, you know? So my bottom line is, we know how to control things. We know how to control this. And especially like the NRA members and conceal and carry and Second Amendment people, the number one reason why I love you, you're proving what I'm saying. You can control this. You can control that weapon. You can speak out from a different narrative. And then here's the thing. Oh my God. Let me go down this path here. If I can, for the diehard NRA gun supporters, this, that, and the third, can I get you all to volunteer to protect these schools? Who better to protect these schools than the people that got the guns? You know what I'm saying? You got the guns. Protect us. That's why I love the military. I have Marines in my family, Navy in my family, police in my family. I have all these people. I love you and I love what you do. I love how you protect us, because I'm not doing that. I don't wake up thinking that. I don't wake up being that. And you chose to do that. So I love you for that. And I don't want to take away anybody's guns. I don't want to take away anybody. I just want these kids to be protected. That's all. But you're proving my point. When people can turn it on, they can turn it on. When people can turn it off, they can turn it off. Tom Brady doesn't throw footballs at people's foreheads. Tom Brady doesn't throw apples and oranges at people's foreheads to get their attention. He doesn't just, well, I'm just a man. This is just me. You know, that's not. I mean, Michael Jordan doesn't palm people's heads when he talks to them. Same thing with LeBron. Like, they're gigantic. They can palm a basketball, do all this stuff. They don't grab people's heads. Hey, how you doing? You know, and pull them toward them. Like, there has to be levels. There's a balance to these things. And when we build our fantasy football teams, we do exactly that. We take time to understand each position. So we should be taking the time to understand each level of womanhood. I'm right. I mean, this isn't a women showing you what a menstrual cycle is. Watch how fast that would change. If a man was walking, a woman's about to breastfeed, and she's like, "Oh my God, I'm getting my period." Watch how fast men run away. Watch how fast they leave the room. Watch how fast they run. I'm one of them. You know, the cycle and flow and all that, like, that's just not our normal genuine conversation. But from a health perspective, yes, I do want all those things to be in order. And that's why I'm not only am I, you know, looking at the book Dare to Lead, I'm also going to be reading a book called In the Flow, because I do coach ladies. I think it's important that I'm smarter when I work with them and when I'm coaching and trying to be, a reason why they're better in society. You need to know how to speak the language of whomever you're around. So, yeah, that Dare to Lead book, as I'm, I need to transition, get out of here. As I'm reading Dare to Lead, it's one of the main focuses that it's really hitting hard on is something that men have done for thousands of years and probably didn't know it. We only develop a few of our tools mentally, not realizing that there are other baskets that we can, operate in and use. And when those men use those other baskets, they're usually called nerdy or, ultra conservative, churchy, gay, feminine, too analytical. And the hard part is, we might be that. We might be those things. You doing too much, or why are you so judgy, or why are you being so hard on us? And, men, we do have those other pockets. And as a man, it shows up as he's too militant, or he's too preachy, or, man, can we just have a little bit of fun? Why you gotta be such a buzzkill or cock block or whatever people call you? So yeah, we might do that, but we also as men have to come together as a better community and teach each other the other things. Like if a man is being too rough around the edges, you got to get him around a guy that's a little bit of a smooth talker. And if a man is being, too delicate or too sensitive and he's trying to fight all the time or he's hurt all the time, then us who are a little bit rougher and balanced need to get around that guy and be like, hey, you need to toughen up a little bit. You can't be blown around the street by everything. So just like I'm saying, men, we've got to take off our armor, as Brené Brown says, we got to take off our armor and help one another with our weaknesses and not cover up so fast when everybody walks through. We got to help each other with the damage under the armor. Women, y'all got to do that too. Y'all definitely got to do it. I really need women to support women. Y'all are just leaving each other out there like it's a good thing. It's a good thing. The women that, let me say it like this. The women that good women call hoes know all of the things that please a man at home. The women that have great careers, great money, great organization might feel like they're lacking something. So what I'm saying is, if one group is dominant in a thing and they're looking over the other side saying, man, the grass really is greener on the other side, shouldn't y'all help each other? Like at some point, is it health? Is it finances and financial planning? Is it career goals? Is it professionalism? Is it accountability? What is it that woman has that you're looking down the road and you see her with, and you're like, man, it'd be really, that's just not me. I just don't have that. And instead of taking off your regular armor of what you think you are, you just keep perpetuating that same mindset of, that's not me. I can't have that. And you keep telling yourself you can't have that, when in actuality, you can take the time and learn. If you want a career coach, you can get a career coach, a life coach. If you want classes and training, because that's the only way, you can go get classes and training to do those things you want to do. But that's my point. We all need each other a lot more than we think. And we try to get along and get by a lot faster and a lot more than we think. That's why now I gotta reach out to people. I gotta ask for help. Because I'm just like, man, look at how many things we're doing without even, you know, without even having the proper mindset. It's not about drive and determination. It's not about drive and determination. It's just a proper mindset. We're not doing things with the proper mindset. And then when somebody says something, it could be bad or good, we put up the armor so quick that we didn't even get a chance to hear what they're saying. Excuse me. That's not your business. I had one of those moments at the store where I was, you know, just trying to check out my groceries. And the last time we were at this grocery store as a unit, as a family, I listened to everybody else and left a whole bag of groceries. Not only did they take those groceries away from that area, they put them in an area they couldn't tell me about. Like, they couldn't even find them. So I had to go back and get everything on that receipt all over again. I had to drive all the way back to the store and get it all over again. So when we got to the checkout this time, I told everybody, I was like, yo, let me just put it the way I put it and do it the way I do it, so that way we can get out of here. So fruits is with fruits, meats is with meats, breads is with breads and snacks and grains and cereals and all of that. I put everything in its place from where we got it from those sections of the store. That's how I scan it up and ring it out every time. And as I'm setting the bananas up for self-checkout, I set it up there and it didn't scan. I scanned it again and set it there. And a lady jumps over my shoulder. Yeah, you gotta wait. And I'm like, I'm like, okay. And I was mad at this point, because I'm like, I don't know you. I didn't ask for your help. I don't want anybody that close to me, unless they're my family. And she jumps up over my shoulder. You gotta wait. And I was like, yo. That is how you get sliced. I'm not gonna hurt nobody. But that's just my point. Like, I had to shut it down for a second and really think about how I wanted to respond. Am I gonna respond with an angry armor, because all I wanna do is get out of here in one piece? Am I gonna respond and completely shut down and just walk out and not deal with it? You know, what am I gonna do here? So, yeah, I was professional. I got out of there. I waited, and then I tried to do something again, and she was saying something. I was like, oh my God, like, who is this chick? And she was stressed already before she even came to talk to me. I looked back and I watched, and she goes over and drinks her Pepsi and is sweating and wiping off her top brow and all that. I'm just like, ugh. Like, don't stress on me. Don't bring your stress over here. Keep that over there. And that's all I'm saying is, whatever your stress is, your mindset is, you've got to hold on to that and body that up. That's yours. You got to deal with that. Your armor, whatever it is you're doing. And as men, we've just got to be better. That's all. We've just got to be better. We've got to look at the diversity of the women. We've got to look at the diversity of ourselves. We've got to help each other. So, men, women, help yours. Let's be better. Let's do better. And yeah, last but not least, well, I went everywhere but Diddy and Cassie. Y'all, Diddy's been doing this for forever. I don't know what he did to Usher. I don't know what he did to Bieber. I don't know what he did to all these guys. But this is normal now. This is what we do in Hollywood. We do all this funny stuff. And like, the thing is, we have a wonderful array of gay, lesbian actors, actresses, all of this stuff. Like, we have teams. Like, if you don't know who Billy Porter is, okay? Like, we have amazing gay, lesbian, LGBTQIA actors, actresses, like in Supergirl, what is the young lady's name? I can't remember her superpowers and all that, but we got it. Like, we got it, y'all. And we need to just chill. Because we have, like, and this was, like, weird to me, we do have, like, gay men and lesbian women out there, and you never hear anything about, like, from the female side. You always hear about, like, the things going on between, you know, who we thought were straight men, like, you know, Will and Dwayne Martin, that they're doing something. But that's not even new. That's not new. And, like, to me, like, the reason why, like, for me with Jada, I gotta, like, you know, pull up a huge flag, is she just scares me. Because I'm like, look at what she chooses to focus her energy on. Like, that entanglement and all of that, she wasn't saying nothing about that. She wasn't really hurt or bothered by that at all. Sleeping with your sons, you know, one of your son's friends, not bothered by that at all. Entanglement, okay. Will's getting his whole face and image chopped up by everybody in the public, not even bothered by that. But the second she finds out that someone is having sex with her husband, Dwayne Martin is having sex with her husband, and that's the allegation, now she wants to do criminal charges and court charges. Now, she doesn't feel bad about Chris getting slapped at all, but the fact that somebody's having sex with her husband, that's a man, that's what bothers her. Now that's slander. Now we gotta go to war. I'm like, man, maybe it's just exposing a part of Hollywood that nobody wants to see. And people have, you know, a chance to look at, I don't know, Diddy and Cassie, Will and Jada, all the, you know, stuff that's going on in Hollywood with the Me Too, Time's Up, Epstein, all that. When people have a chance to look at it, they maybe might cancel Hollywood, you know? So, I don't know. I just know y'all need to leave them alone. Stop trying to be like them. Stop trying to be like these celebrities. Stop trying to be like all these crazy people. And like, here's the real thing. What do we know all of these celebrities for in our movies and TV shows? For acting like you. Their roles in their movies are acting like you. They get an Academy Award for acting like someone that doesn't have the money and the status and the range that you have. They pour themselves down. They bring themselves down for just a minute to be poor so they can be like you. And then we clap and applaud. Wow, you're really just like me. Your movies and shows, wow. And it's not just, I'm not, you know, picking on any one specific person. This is black people too. The Bernie Mac show, the Martin Lawrence show, Living Single, all that. They're doing all these shows while making huge bank with relatable stories to people they do not know. They don't know these people. These are caricatures and pieces of people that look like you and me. They don't look like these celebrities. Like, look at how they spend their time. Look at how they spend their time day in and day out, and tell me that they're anything like those characters on the movies and shows. Now, I did have a theory that Will Smith is now the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, he acts just like he did on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air now. Sad. But They're trying to be like you. They're trying to fit in. So, I don't know. That's just something we've got to do better on. But like I said, leave them people alone. Their movies and shows and all that are movies and shows. But once it comes to celebrity living, they have more money than you. They have more resources than you. They have more time than you. And they choose to do all this drama instead of going out there and having a healthy mind and having a healthy spirit. That's on them. I don't feel bad. They don't feel bad when November 19th happens. And that's a whole nother podcast. November 19th, which is one of the days we draw more attention to male mental health, where we are like 90% of the suicides. They don't care about us. They don't care about you. They're not doing anything to fund the research to stop that or help that, unless somebody does, you know, unless somebody does. But you get what I'm saying. They don't really care about you. They care about maybe how they feel and how things trigger them and make them, you know, react. But they're celebrities. They're up. They're really up. Look at their cars and their houses. So leave them people alone. And these things, topics I'm talking about, the male perspective, breastfeeding, and dare to lead, they're not talking about that. They don't care anything about that. When they do, but I think the Hollywood leash is just so short that they can't really let them go very far. They can't really let them get sane. They can't really let them do much. Otherwise, it's hard to entertain people with sane, balanced people. You kind of need that energy, that volatility in the market to you know, keep things stirred up. So, all right, you all. I love you all. Hope you love me back. Please love, like, and share these messages. For those of you that are dedicated and keep listening to me, thank you. I see you. I love you. I want to acknowledge you. And yeah, help me grow. All right. Peace and love. Take care.